Shop, Fulton Avenue at the Cap City Freeway, or online at HaganOaks.com.
Time to check out Capital Casino, conveniently located at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento.
KHTKAM Sacramento, KYMX HD2 Sacramento. From the Power Business Technology Toshiba Studios, your new home for 49ers football in the 916.
Sacktown Sports.
It's time. It is that time. That time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Friday. It's still a feel-good Friday here at Sacktown Sports. If you're joining us from the crossover with Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross, thank you for joining us. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. If you've been rocking with us, thank you for rocking with us, making us the fastest growing show
That's right.
In Sacramento. If you are new to the show, thank you for joining with Simone behind the glass today. So you know it's going to be a great time. Maybe we'll hear the new Kendrick everybody's talking about. That would be more exciting than what happened last night in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. as the Kings go Kangs and lose to the Wizards 109-102. I think all of us watching the game thought they'd figure it out. They went on a couple runs, but ultimately, thanks to Kyle Kuzma and Denny Avdija, that was not the case. Chris Watkins,
yeah.
How you doing?
I've been better, to be honest. My brackets are all pretty much torn apart. We might be number one, you know, rising show in Sacramento. Might be number one in all of your hearts, but we're number 160 something in Jason Ross's bracket.
Yes, so we are tied at 162nd.
You're busted.
It's over. It's busted.
We're fine. Let's see how the weekend.
Our champions are still in it.
Yes.
Okay. You know. We're,
yes.
Sorry. Actually,
hateful.
Did not
Wait,
mean to.
Simone, you had South Carolina winning.
Yes, it was a long shot, a strategic.
Did you do like 10
shot.
Brackets?
I have some personal ones going
okay.
on.
All
yeah,
right. Well,
I did not have a second rack. For the work one.
No. Gotcha.
So Simone,
gotcha.
We talked about this yesterday. Was your thought process that you had in a pool so big you figured you had to stick out?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. But why? Why the Gamecocks?
That's a great question.
I was going to say something
that
thank you. They're really good at winning when they
go.
Are down.
There we go.
Wanted to
okay.
clean that up.
Well, there's always next year for Simone, and hopefully there's always next game
That's right.
for the Kings as now they head to Disney World to Orlando to take on the Magic. But first, we break down what happened in the Capitol. And Chris, where to start? Look, it's a Friday. We're not going to sit here and be sad for 4 hours, but the truth of the matter is that the Kings, they dropped another one. They
yep.
dropped a big one. They dropped the ability to be in the driver's seat, right? And they're going to have opportunities, okay? But they're looking up. They are now back in the eighth seed. And when you are looking up, you no longer have that same control. They do face both teams before the season ends, as in the Suns. They face the Suns one more time. They face the Mavericks two more times, and that is next week. And going through the options with Chris Watkins before the show, we cannot stress enough how important those two games are. Essentially, if they don't win one of them, if they split, they no longer control their fate and their destiny. And I'm not going to sit here, Chris. One thing that we've done throughout the whole course of this season, they have to do
right,
this.
Right.
If they no, it
gotta have it.
This
must
is gotta,
win.
I don't know about you. I'm not gonna. I don't like to make promises I can't keep. But
yep.
there's only 13 games left.
Yes.
I feel pretty confident saying I'm not gonna say that anymore because they basically just say, "Oh, really? Well, I'm gonna lose anyway."
I'll say it for those Mavericks games. I think
yeah.
those Maverick games are the last must-win games of the season, and then, I'm on layaway right now. I cannot have any definites with this team. I can't talk about where they're going to end up in the standings or any of that until after next week. Those Tuesday and Friday games against Dallas, like you set up, they determine pretty much everything. If the Kings sweep, if they beat Dallas twice and then sweep them on the season series, then the Kings, like you said, they control their own fate. They'd be two games ahead of Dallas at that point. we can then start to feel good. But if the Kings lose those games or lose one of those games, Dallas has a significantly easier strength of schedule. And at that point, the Kings wouldn't have gained any ground on Dallas in the standings at that point. I just have to wait until then to really give my overall thoughts. But I'm going to say that those are the last two must-win games. After that, there might be a couple more of those, but we'll have to see after.
Yeah, and the reason I'm not saying, and it's not to say that they don't have to have those games, but they had to have the game last night. Yeah. It just feels like there's no point in saying it for me anymore.
Well, the point is that, you know, last night they really didn't have to win it. They should have won it. It would have done them a ton of favors. That's where I'm saying the Dallas game, you actually do have to win those, because that is directly impacting your standings. And then, you know, it does really affect how you're going to view the rest of the season. Last night and the games before that, those were just almost formalities. Those were you need to win those games just because they were against easy opponents. Now we're getting to the point where, you know, you've got to win these games for standings purposes. And, you know, I don't really feel it's disappointing to lose yesterday, but I'm not changing my overall view of the wide landscape of this thing just because they lost last night, if that makes sense.
Essentially, you're saying even if they won last night, if you lose those games to the Mavericks, it doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
Maybe you would have been able to split.
Yeah.
But now you have to win
exactly
another one. And, you know, guys are going down every single day as we get close to the end of the season, and the long season is catching up to some of the players. Brandon Ingram had a really rough knee injury. And look, they lost to the Magic, and obviously we hope a speedy recovery to Brandon Ingram. Not really sure what that got diagnosed as, but just from a basketball standpoint, it's annoying to say, but they lost last night.
Yeah.
And that was an opportunity for the Kings
completely
for the fifth seed. Now, looking forward, do we think the Pelicans are going to be able to continue to win the way they've been winning without Brandon Ingram? Who knows? Maybe that's an opportunity, but the Kings can't even worry about the five seed. That's a whole nother level. Yeah. That's like the penthouse, okay? The Kings need to get out of the basement at this point. So get out the lobby. Do you even have a room key?
Yes, please.
Sir, do you have
checking in.
Yeah, did you book a room,
It's one
sir?
Of those where they keep typing at the desk, and it's like, is everything okay? Is everything okay?
Allen, was that an A-L-L?
Yeah. Two L's? Yeah. Two L's?
Is that an A-L-A-N?
A-N-E-N?
S-T-Y?
Yeah, right.
Hold on a second. Sometimes the Wi-Fi.
Let me go back there real quick.
Yeah.
Let me go talk to my manager.
That's where the Kings are at right now. But let's really break down just what happened in Washington yesterday with Frank Facts.
Yes, absolutely. And just a note on the Brandon Ingram injury. Shams put out this morning, he suffered a bone contusion in his left knee. Diagnosis for New Orleans shows that the star forward avoided serious injury. Ingram is expected to miss at least 2 weeks.
I was going
to
say bone contusion. That sounds better than
it sure does.
ACL, MCL, anything like that.
It looked hyperextended. Mm-hmm. It was about as gross looking of an injury as you can get.
Well,
there.
And Coby White is about what I've learned.
Yep.
Is that I am not a doctor.
Yep.
That is what I thought. Because I see some of these injuries, I'm thinking, oh, they're cooked.
It's cooked.
They're
it's
cooked.
Done.
And then, 2 weeks.
Yeah, much. I mean, we still no update on Kevin Huerter, but that was a scary-looking injury too, and we'll see how that one goes. Frank Facts, here we go from last night. Not as happy, obviously, because the Kings lose. Sacramento missed its first 11 attempts from three-point range, while leading scorer De'Aaron Fox opened the night by missing his first 8 attempts from the field. Trailing 52-33 with 6:36 remaining in the half, the Kings ended the second quarter on a wonderful 21-4 run that trimmed the gap to 56-54 heading into the break. And I don't know about you, Alan, but at halftime, I was like, okay, this is where things get normal again.
Exactly.
They had a terrible first half, but that run, 21-4, it's really significant. All right, second half's going to come out. They're going to get some stops. They're going to go up 10.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to be like the Toronto game. We're going to look back in the rear view.
Or the Pistons
and
game
gone.
As well.
Or the Pistons
in,
game, that's
in
right.
Detroit.
Gosh, we can go down the list, man.
Oh, yeah.
We can just go down the list of games that it reminded us of. Washington opened that third quarter, however, on a 9-0 run, doing exactly what we would hope the Kings would do to push its lead back into double digits. The Wizards, who entered the night as the NBA's worst third quarter team regarding point differential, outscored the Kings 28-22 in the period while shooting 63% from the field in that period. That one hurt. That one hurt to read. Man. The fact that the Wizards are the worst third quarter team in the NBA, the Kings build all of this momentum, 21-4 run going into half, and just, I mean, just completely lose the lead again. I think De'Aaron talked about it in the post game, but like, to do all the effort of coming back and then to just lose the lead almost immediately after, it's like that's just completely just draining on your emotions.
All that work that they did.
Yeah.
All the work that they did. I'm sitting here, guys, and I am trying to look up. Okay, I'm looking up Estezolam. Okay. Estezolam.
Huh?
Clonazepam. And Trazodone. I'm looking up sleepwalking medication.
Yeah, okay. It's like, those sound
I'm
like
trying to find some sleepwalking medication because that's exactly what happened to the Kings to start the game and in the third quarter. They're just sleepwalking.
They were. Absolutely.
Can we get them some Estezolam?
Please. Please.
Please.
Because I can't. Because it was just Kuzma, too. That's the thing. Like, no one else really did much.
Jacuzzi. And it wasn't even the full jacuzzi.
Yeah, it wasn't even the full jacuzzi. It was just a koozie. Just a little drink koozie. It was killing us. The Kings moved to 10-20 on the season when shooting under 35% from the field. They are 3-9 when shooting under 29%, as they shot 28% yesterday. The Wizards had held the upper edge last night in rebounds, points in the paint. They outscored the Kings in the paint 60-34, almost doubling the Kings' points in the paint. And from three, as the Wizards shot 40% again to the Kings' 28%. The Kings this season have lost to the Washington Wizards, the Detroit Pistons, who both have 12 wins. They've also lost to the Charlotte Hornets, who have 17 wins, and the Portland Trailblazers, who have 19. Sacramento will face sub-500 teams only three more times during the final weeks of the season that lead into the play-in and NBA playoffs.
Maybe that's a good thing.
I think those three teams are the Utah Jazz. Oh, no. They play the Blazers end of the season. And then who is the third sub-500 team that the Kings play?
I know it's not a terrible team.
It
I know that.
It can't be unless, I mean, there's no way the Sixers have moved below 500. They play Utah?
It's the Nets.
Oh, I forgot they play Brooklyn on the road. That's right.
And it's in Brooklyn.
That's right.
When we return, continuing the conversation, what went wrong in Washington, D.C.? How many houses did the Kings make with all the bricks they put up before they left the nation's capital? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. These are not tour dates. And by the way, speaking of, Hannibal Buress tickets at 12 p.m. He's on a comedy tour, and you can see him at the historic Crest Theater. That is at 12 p.m. That's tonight. You can have some plans tonight. We're doing that at 12 p.m. thanks to Live Nation teaming up with Sacktown Sports. But these are not tour dates, okay? 1-7. 1-7. 0-2. 5-15. Those are not tour dates. Those are some notable three-point numbers from the Kings. Malik Monk was 1-7. Chris Duarte was 1-7. Harrison Barnes, 0-2. De'Aaron Fox, 5-15. But it wasn't just that the shots didn't fall. They also didn't defend. They basically got punked by Kyle Kuzma. Here's Mike Brown on what happened in D.C.
Tough loss, especially where we are right now in our race for that playoff spot. But you got to give the Wizards credit, and their coach and staff a lot of credit. They basically took it to us. Kuz was a handful. We did not have answers for him tonight. We tried to double team him at times, and he still found a way to hit big shots. So give him a lot of credit for being really, really efficient from the floor and scoring 31 points in a low-scoring game. I thought that we did not shoot the ball well tonight. I also thought we turned down some open threes. And if we're open, like we tell our guys, we just got to let that thing fly. And we had a lot of good open looks that normally go in for us. And they just didn't tonight. Maybe it was because of the back-to-back or across the country back-to-back. I don't know. But shots that normally fall for us didn't go in tonight. And especially the open ones that we were able to generate. But again, defensively, we couldn't contain the dribble drive. They scored 60 points in the paint without really a post-up player. All that stuff was just off the dribble drive and us not being able to contain it. We were a step slow in that area. And then, like I said, Kuz was fantastic.
What would you say, or how would you describe the defense that the Wizards played? Because from what I saw, and I know it's okay, don't let Sabonis get going. We'll talk about Rashawn Holmes. Mm-hmm. Don't let Sabonis get going, kind of crowd the paint. Because from what I saw, it's almost as if the Kings need specific threes or specific shots to get going. Because from what I saw, you had a Wizards team say, I'm daring you to shoot, to a three-point shooting team, and the Kings couldn't make. I mean, these were wide open shots. Yeah. They were giving them shots. Yeah. And we've talked about in pickup, when somebody respects your shot, it gives you more confidence. When there's nobody around you, You start
makes you think.
Thinking, am I open for a reason? And that's what it felt like, Chris. There were some wide open shots. Nobody around. Yeah. They had too much time. I think they lost their rhythm.
I really can't explain it. I mean, I don't know why this team, who, like you say, is full of shooters. I mean, Chris Duarte, you know, Kevin Huerter when he was playing, Keegan Murray, HB, all these guys are supposed to be capable of being 38%+ 3-point shooters. And there's no explanation for missing wide open shots. I mean, that's something that, you know, high school kids can do, something, you know, even college kids can do as well. You know, I don't understand how, because you're right, they were daring them to hit shots, and they just didn't. And this is the second game in a row. It's also been something that we've seen all year long. Again, we have numbers of how many games they've lost when they shoot under a certain percentage. I don't know, man. I really don't get it, because they are open, and open shots should be created equal. Like should just go in.
We're not
like,
saying to shoot 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you hit anything?
You should be able to hit them at 40%+ easy, and they're just bricking everything. And I don't know what to say about it. I mean, again, these guys are shooters. They have track records of being shooters, but they're just not executing. And then, frankly, I mean, I think we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but it's crazy to me that Chris Duarte goes 1 of 7. Malik Monk goes 1 of 7. De'Aaron Fox was 5 of 15. Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray was 2 of 4.
And how does
that make sense?
And for Keegan, you should put an asterisk next to it, because two of those threes was when the game was over.
Then those are all his threes. If two of those threes were I know when the game was over.
And I got
the play. Because he hit the last three of the game,
he hit the last three of the game.
That's right.
And those threes that he hit was basically when it was – he hit one – that was with 17 seconds left.
Yeah.
And maybe the other one was when the game was still in the balance. But
regardless, the point still stands.
So it was a close one. It made it 94-97 with 6 minutes left.
Okay.
So essentially,
that's a big bucket,
he took, but here you go. Yeah. He took four threes.
Yeah.
Three of them were taken in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. That's
And one of them was taken with 17 seconds left when the game was over. So basically he took three threes when it mattered with no Kevin Huerter playing.
No, and
with no Sasha Vezenkov playing, with no Trey Lyles playing.
We're at the end of the season too. Like, Keegan's supposed to be further along than this. Like, I have a lot of thoughts on Keegan Murray after last night. I just think that last night was a game where, frankly, Keegan Murray's supposed to win them that game. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to defend Kyle Kuzma, and on the offensive end, he's got to be a lot more aggressive. Mm-hmm. You have to be selfish. Like, you just do. It's something we talked about with HB a lot at the beginning of the year. But, Keegan, this team has said all year long, you are the piece that is our internal development. You're the thing that's going to be different than last year. Your improvement is almost going to be equivalent to adding another player to this roster. And the defense has been great, but I'm tired of using that as the caveat of saying Keegan Murray's offense is not good. It's not where it needs to be right now, especially with a guy like Kevin Huerter going down. Keegan's got to step up. Keegan's got to be the one who, yeah, if it's, I would almost say like De'Aaron, the fact that you're taking 15 threes, that's almost a message to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm taking that as, oh my gosh, like these guys, they just know I'm not going to shoot it. Mm-hmm. And Keegan's got to have some ego, man. Like, I would love to see what it looks like when Keegan Murray takes 20 shots, 20 plus shots. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I mean, and I know Mike Brown did play with his minutes a bit yesterday. Keegan ended up with 29 while, you know, Sabonis is at 38. De'Aaron's at 36. They don't have any forwards. Sasha didn't end up playing yesterday. So I completely think that yesterday really did come down to the fact that Keegan Murray wasn't good enough. I think that, you know, we saw Keon guarding Kuzma. I just felt like that's supposed to be Keegan's assignment. We were talking yesterday about Keon's range. We know he can guard point guards. We know he can guard twos. Asking Keon Ellis to guard a 6'10", 6'11", scorer in Kyle Kuzma, he's took him down to the post and posted him up and laid it right over his head. That's where Keegan Murray is supposed to step up, and he wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, and it wasn't just Kuzma doing some things. I mean, Denny Avdija, I know.
Cooking.
I was a guy, you know, back in the day, Denny was one of my guys.
Really?
I thought, you know.
It took him a while.
This was when I was in the Bay, but when they had that pick, I thought, okay, how about a Denny situation? And he's starting to figure it out. But to me, Chris, he's not really as far as I know, he is not really a shooter like that. So if you're Harrison Barnes, why are you all up in him when he is younger than you? He is more athletic than you. Why his last 10 games, Chris? And this is where I don't know if it's a Harrison Barnes thing.
Denny's shooting just under 40% this year from three.
It was his last 10, he's shooting 23%. Yeah. So he's been cold.
Yeah.
He's been cold.
And he hasn't been a shooter in the past.
And he has not been a shooter in the past.
Really bad numbers.
So I don't know what. Okay, let me ask you this though.
Yeah.
What is the point of getting up in him, Harrison? To are you hoping that you can test the three correctly? Because the chances of Denny, even though he's shooting the three ball better this season, he's shooting 23% the last 10 games. The chances of Denny making that contested three, a lot of those threes that he's making this season probably wide open.
Right.
They're the Wizards.
Say, make it. The same way they're making you make
exactly,
your shots. Right?
Exactly. So now you get in him when he's more athletic than you, and it's a blow by fest over and over and over again. So I don't know where that breakdown is. I don't even want to waste our time doing blame pie.
Right.
We're going to get to it organically. Yeah. It's just a mess. It was just a mess last night.
Yeah.
And we still have more to get to. We see you on the text line from the 916. Hey, Johnny K. What happened with Malik Monk and Coach Brown at the end of the game? We will discuss what happened when we return. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Is it a big, fat, nothing burger? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. As Malik Monk heads to the bench and then heads to the showers.
Did a nice little spin before.
That was a great little pirouette that he did, a little 360 action as somebody tried to basically keep him.
Yeah. Are you ready for that? That was also awful, like, child tantrumy. You know, the come here and then like a, no, don't grab me.
Oh, you're saying like for me?
Yeah,
as
for
a,
you.
Well,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
It was a bit childish. It just looked a little childish.
Yeah, baby Styles, you know, she's a little bit, I'm one of those parents and she's definitely a little advanced, you know, I didn't say it, the doctor said it. And she's already doing some of the, we're already getting a little free preview of toddler life. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. You know those memes where it'll say somebody says something cool or call somebody out and then the shades drop down and it says thug life.
Yes.
I'm ready for her just being ticked off at me for no apparent reason and just says toddler life.
Yeah.
That's what's
exactly.
going on.
Just storming off.
Exactly. And that's kind of what we saw from Malik Monk last night. Look, we know that the relationship with Malik Monk and Mike Brown has been colorful. And I believe they really like each other, but they are very open. And, you know, you got Keegan who's flipped off Mike Brown during a game. It is not your grandfather or grandmother's coaching relationship.
Yes.
I will say that. And one thing that a lot of people didn't notice, but I posted on social media, and Chris, I think you talked about it during the post game. By the way, Chris, hardest working man in Sacramento. He did four broadcasts last night. This man did four broadcasts last night, and he's here still working. Still working. And a softball game. And he hit a dinger.
Way too
and he hit a dinger in the softball game.
I'm scared.
Tough pitching. Tough pitching.
Oh, okay.
You had Randy Johnson up there.
It was just like the opposite of Randy Johnson.
I see.
Got to swing at ones that you could.
I see. I hear you. And what happened was Mike Brown and Malik, they had words. That is what led to Malik coming out. Yeah. Malik was not going to come out of the game.
No, there was like, 15 seconds maybe?
Yes. Yeah. And I got the video, and Baby Styles is also in the video, so we can't play that sound. And basically, I asked where the lip reader's at, and I will do my best for based on what it looked like Mike Brown. And this is all us just what it looked like. I don't know for a fact, but it looked like Malik, who you can't see on the screen, had said something to the effect of, I don't give a bleep. And then you see Mike Brown say, I know you don't give a bleep. That's why I'm getting you the bleep out. And then Malik goes to the bench and says, bleep, man, and daps up the teammates. And then one hand, we were trying to figure out who the hand was. Was it JaVale? Who was the hand? We could not figure out who the hand was. Tries to keep Malik on the bench. And Malik does the 360, the 360 pirouette, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
It's pretty sick.
And goes to the showers, goes to the locker room. I don't believe, Chris and I have been investigating, have not seen any sound on it. Doesn't look like it got brought up. And if it did, please let us know. We haven't seen any sound on it. I would assume Mike Brown would say the typical Mike Brown stuff and just say, you know, that's
emotions running high.
It's not going to be, it's not the first time. It's not going to be the last time. That's exactly what he's going to say. Katie, which wasn't caught on the broadcast, it weirdly cut off on the audio that the Kings posted as well. Katie, or Kings on NBC Sports, Katie said, I like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll say this. I don't know where they were sitting.
Right.
And there's a lot going on. You're doing a TV broadcast.
Right.
I don't know if Katie saw.
I would almost doubt she saw.
The back and forth between Coach Mike Brown. I think she's just saying he's upset. Right. This, that, the third.
Fired up. Yep.
A lot of fans that want Malik on their team are saying, oh, man, he wants out. He wants this. Yeah. He wants that. Let's not forget.
Insecurity speaks volumes there for those people.
Yes. Let's not forget. Malik Monk could be upset. And we know we had Anthony Slater. Go check out the YouTube. Go check out the interview if you haven't seen it yet. Anthony Slater had a nice sit down with Malik Monk. And Malik Monk did say some things. He talked about money. Talked about being a free agent. He also talked about going far in the playoffs or having a nice playoff run. But with that being said, so yes, this is a bad loss. But with that being said, Malik Monk was 1-for-7 from three.
Mm-hmm.
If Malik Monk, and he did get to 20 points, but if I would look at this differently, if Malik Monk was cooking and nobody else had his back.
Right.
It's not like Malik dropped a 40 burger, which would have been ridiculous off the
bench. They would have won.
and they also would have won. But if he dropped a 40 burger, I'm coming off the bench and we lost to the Wizards.
Right. Man, y'all some bums.
I'm with you. Yeah. But they were all bums last night.
Yes.
That's why you lost to the Wizards.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm trying to figure out what he was really so upset about. Like, we can't really pinpointed to one specific thing. Was he upset at Mike Brown? Was he upset at himself? Was he upset at the team? We can't really tell, but I like the fact that he's fired up in that moment. Like, clearly, you know, if you're that upset, it means that you wanted that game. Like, it wasn't as if, you know, they just laid down and they were like, oh, here we go again. But, you know, at the same time, like, you do have to control your emotions a bit in that moment. And, you know, it's not like it ended up boiling over and, you know, there was some shouting. Maybe there was some shouting in the locker room, but doesn't seem like anything that's caused a massive rift. But, you know, we've also seen that, you know, smaller things have led to bigger blowups. And so, you know, you hope that, you know, I remember around this time last year, Rudy Gobert and Kyle Anderson get into a fight.
Didn't he choke him?
It was going to get escalated, but he didn't quite pull the full Draymond.
Yeah.
I more just say that to say, like, that's really the only fear I have from this situation is maybe things start to get tense down the stretch here. Everybody's trying to win. The Kings have a tough schedule. Maybe, you know, down the stretch even further, this blows up on the bench. That's really my only fear with this. I'm not reading into Malik Monk clearly wants out, or, you know, he's frustrated with the team and he's considering moving. I don't think this has anything to do with long-reaching views or anything like that. I think this is just Malik Monk being upset at the fact that his team lost to the worst team in the NBA, and they all collectively played like trash, and you know, that's tough to wear sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not looking too far into it, only because they don't have time.
Exactly,
they don't have time.
They don't have time for drama. Yeah,
no, and it's all still in front of them. They know if they take care of business, they can still get into the sixth seed. They can still maybe make some noise, but ultimately, we don't know what happened. Yeah. We can speculate, but I don't know how much good that would do.
Right.
Maybe Malik missed an assignment and he's feeling, and Mike Brown is doing what a coach does,
right,
and Malik says, I don't care, the game is over. And then Mike Brown says, okay, well, if you don't care, you know what? And I'm going to be honest with you. This is where being the, and I don't know if he fully is in that range, because honestly, they're just really confusing relationships that Mike Brown has. Just unique. I'll put it to you like that. Because when you're the cool coach, sometimes it's hard to drop the hammer.
Yeah.
Almost like being the cool parent.
Right, exactly.
Right. When the cool parent says, oh yeah, you guys want to go out? Yeah, I'll drive you out. I want to do this, I want to do that. And then all of a sudden, when the cool parent wants to be a parent, sometimes the kid is saying, hey, whoa, I thought you were the cool parent.
Because you end up contradicting yourself.
I thought we were friends.
Right, exactly.
And it's, hey, I'm still an authority over you.
Yeah.
You're still my kid. I'm still an authority over you. You're still my player. I'm still the coach.
Yeah.
So Coach Mike Brown has to be careful. And look, he's had years and years of experience, but I don't know if he is coaching this team the same way. He's a different person as the same way as he's coached the Cavs, as he's coached these other teams.
Definitely not,
because it's just different. And sometimes when you have that line of we're boys, right, and we joke around and we flip each other off, then when it's time to that still was crazy to me. I'll be honest. And it sounds like get off my lawn, but that was still nuts to me, by the way. But it's hard to reel it back in. You like to say toothpaste out of the tube.
Yeah.
Where is that line? It can work, and I'm not going to freak out just because something happened and they lost to the Wizards and it didn't look great, but it's unique. It is unique.
Yeah, no, it's definitely it is really unique, because it's more than just, like you're saying, like it's more than just a coach player relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, there does seem to be some real personal connections that go on with all of his guys. Like, and I know it's a cliche to say, but like from De'Aaron Fox to JaVale McGee, like I really do think that Mike Brown does have individual personal relationships with all these guys. I think the thing that's impressed me most about Mike Brown, and the reason why I will continue to say he should not be let go, I don't care what all the texters and all that say, is, and I think he's the perfect guy for this job because of exactly what you're laying out. He has the perfect balance. He is really, I won't say really buddy-buddy with these guys, but again, he has real, like, actual relationships with these guys. But at the same time, the word for me is respect. Mm. And I do think the flipping off stuff, the jokes, all that stuff, I do think that there is a line that all of the players and Mike Brown understand that he is the coach.
Yeah.
And that respect still exists. But stuff like last night does start to kind of tiptoe on the line of, all right, Malik, like, again, it's okay. Get your frustration out. That's fine. It's a highly emotional game. We can let that slide. But you start to have too many moments like that, and it starts to be, look, Malik, if you do this three more times, people are going to start saying, what's wrong with their relationship? Is Mike Brown coaching Malik the wrong way? And it's going to start to really affect Mike Brown. And that's no longer being respectful. Then you're starting to send messages. Then you're starting to bring Mike Brown's authority into question. And, you know, who knows what happens from there? Then maybe Sasha Vezenkov is like, you know what? I'm actually on Malik's side too. Mike Brown has been playing us all season long. He's especially been playing me, all this stuff. And you just don't want that to spiral and then lose respect of multiple people in the locker room. So right now, I think it's fine. But I'm sure Mike Brown's going to call Malik into whatever his road office is, and they're going to have a conversation about it. But it's just figuring out, hey man, it's okay to be emotional, but I've dealt with Draymond Green, and I know how sometimes blow-ups can turn into tantrums. And yesterday, you started to kind of teeter on a tantrum.
Let's not forget the beginning of the season when Mike Brown was letting Malik have it during that practice.
That's right.
You're gonna get me fucked.
Yeah.
You're gonna get me fucked, Malik.
I'll lose my top.
All right, when we return, continuing the conversation. 916-339-1140. Malik Monk leaving the locker room early. Big deal, small deal, no deal. That, and we'll talk about some of the interesting rotations from last night. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento tonight. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Econa hotline at 12 p.m. and we will give you a chance to win those tickets. Simone will pick the number today to get your chance to see Hannibal Buress tonight from the 916. This is interesting, Chris. Never really heard this one before.
What's that?
I feel like I can see Monk wanting out because it seems like even though on most nights he's better than Fox, he will never be put on the same pedestal. Do you think I've just never thought about that? Do you think there are fans out there that think Malik Monk is better than De'Aaron Fox? Maybe a small contingent, but
it's really weird. I wasn't thinking about that specifically, but because you always say it too, and you know, there's tons of people who I think agree. Malik is the funnest player to watch. And I could see how maybe that could somehow overshadow some of the things De'Aaron does. Mm-hmm. Because Malik is just so, like, he's just noticeable, man. Like, when he's out on the floor, you're going to realize what he's doing, whether it's shooting, whether it's dunking, whether it's crossing people up, him in the pick and roll. It's all flashy. It's all flair. And it's really attention grabbing. And sometimes, you know, De'Aaron, the name of De'Aaron's game is speed, but he doesn't really ever go coast to coast. It's usually like he uses it in spurts. And like, I think that De'Aaron in a weird way, I'll just say he plays less exciting than Malik. I won't say necessarily it's a boring style, but I just think that sometimes Malik's just a little bit more extroverted in all kinds of ways. And I think that makes people maybe say Malik feels like he's having more impact, where maybe De'Aaron is truly just kind of stacking up all the numbers.
It definitely feels sometimes that De'Aaron needs Malik Monk more than Malik Monk needs De'Aaron.
Sure.
And Malik Monk can still get his and work with, you know, the backup centers and guys like that, and he can still find a way to get his. Sometimes it feels like Malik can do more with less than De'Aaron.
Sure, yeah.
For whatever that means.
Yeah. I don't think it needs to be a one or the other kind of thing. I think they each individually bring what they need to bring. But Malik is also afforded the luxury of having bad games. Like, Malik Monk can have a 9-point game, and yeah, we're going to say Malik didn't really have it, but we're not going to spend an entire 3 segments talking about what's wrong with Malik Monk. Malik Monk needs to be better. De'Aaron's at a point in his career where he's got to be putting up, if he puts up 20 in a night, like I think he might have last night, I think he ended up with 25, but you're going to say, what was that? What was that performance out of De'Aaron Fox? He's a 30-point-per-game scorer, 27 at least.
Right.
He's got to be better. So I think De'Aaron's the better player, no doubt about it.
He had 25.
I just think Malik's impact is maybe more. Like Malik helps this team. When Malik is good, it pushes this team over the edge. When De'Aaron's good, that's putting us in the game. But Malik is the thing that makes them go over the top. That's the thing that separates them from a team that's probably around 500 to a team that's, as you see, I mean, what, I think they're still 10 or 11 games above 500.
Yeah, the way I would put it is, as far as free agency, we had the conversation with Anthony Slater, and go check that out on YouTube if you missed it yesterday. It was great, great stuff, exclusive interview.
Yeah.
We had the conversation with Anthony Slater, and the question is, can Malik be a two guard, right, on a championship-level team? There's no question, and what option he would be, Anthony used the example of the Nuggets, KCP. So Malik Monk on the Nuggets would probably, at best, be probably the fourth option. He'd be the fourth option behind Michael Porter Jr. Because it would be Jokic, Jamal.
Yeah.
Jokic, Jamal, Michael Porter Jr., and then Malik. Maybe those two switch. He's three or four.
Yeah, he's either three or four.
I don't think there's any question, and I've been tough on De'Aaron Fox myself. There's no question in my mind De'Aaron Fox is a championship-level number two option.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 100%.
The question we're trying to, and that's not for now, but the question ultimately is whether we think De'Aaron Fox is a championship level number one option.
Exactly.
But we're not even having that discussion about Malik Monk.
Right. No.
Okay.
Not
so
yet, no.
I understand, and people are saying on the Sack Chat and the text line as well, really what you're saying as far as when you watch the game, if you don't watch every game, or you don't watch every game as far as the things that don't look as sexy. You have De'Aaron Fox with 10 assists a couple games ago, but he's not doing Jokic behind the back or behind his head passes, things like that.
Even and last Malik night, Monk had five steals.
Five steals. And Malik Monk had three highlight dunks a couple
nights
ago.
That's right.
There are fans out there that are going to say, well, Malik's better.
Yeah.
But trust us, around the league, nobody is having that conversation.
Well, and even in clutch situations, right? Like I think we talked about it the other day. Like, is Malik a better option right now in the clutch?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it, but then even looking at the numbers, even still, De'Aaron Fox has the third most clutch points in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's almost like it just goes under the radar. I mean, it's almost a microcosm of the Kings in general. Like, it's the expectations are now different. Mm-hmm. It's, De'Aaron Fox last year, like, no one was expecting him to be clutch player of the year. Mm-hmm. No one really thought of that part of his game. We knew he had some clutch moments, but we weren't really ever paying attention to the totality of it. It's just what he does, and I think that's really the biggest difference, again, is Malik's the cherry on top. De'Aaron has to be there, or else there's no food. There's just an empty dish that's served, and that's really the best way I could put it.
Yeah, Malik might leave to go be a star. We're still trying to figure out if Malik is a starter,
right,
on a true contender. Yeah. There's no question that De'Aaron is a starter on a true contender. The question is what level. Yeah. So understand why it might come off like that, but I know everybody is. Everybody has an ego, as we've discussed, but I don't know that Malik would even tell you that he thinks he can be a number. Maybe he would, but there is no conversation really to be had comparing De'Aaron and Malik past this team. I do think that sometimes it feels like Malik can do more with less, but that's why he is who he is. But I don't really think it's much of a conversation as far as
who is better?
Who is better between the two? If De'Aaron went down versus if Malik went down tomorrow, I think our feelings would change, and I think this team would be in a different position. Now, to be clear, they're probably screwed either way, but I think they'd have more of a chance if De'Aaron was still on the floor. When we return discussing the rotations, Mike Brown, you got question marks for Mike Brown? Where was Ellis Island? Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.